Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And did you know that the Bible teaches us something very interesting about the Sabbath? That when Christ rose again from the dead, he became our Sabbath for every day of the week. Did you know that?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So, Pastor Jack, we're going into some Easter questions as we get further into these Easter, Palm Sunday, Good Friday messages here on the program.
Yeah.
We're asking you questions about Easter that might not normally come up in, you know, everyday conversation. So we're asking the question, why do you think Easter still matters today in a world that seems to be moving farther and farther away from tradition?
Yeah, well, first of all, Easter is a takeoff from Ishtar, and this is the bunny rabbit colored egg fertility worship of this pagan god. Huh. We say Easter, most people in the West recognize, oh, Easter, yeah, you know, we're going to go to Easter services.
Yeah.
Just to make my point, though, we're talking about Easter, really, we're talking about the suffering of the Messiah, the offering of the gift of eternal life. So here's the thing. It will forever matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be relegated by culture or by crisis or by any other type of attempt to redefine. Here's the reason why. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ deals with the ultimate issue, and that is there life after death? Everyone, according to the Bible, and we know this is true, every culture in the world, even where there's been no Bible, they all have a worship system. They all seek eternal life. It doesn't matter if you're somehow the ancient pagan worshiping entities of the Babylonian system or Persian or Greek or Roman. Doesn't matter. They are all focused on life after death. Why? The Bible says that God has written eternity in our hearts.
Yeah.
So man is pursuing eternal life, not knowing what he's pursuing. Paul made this clear in Acts chapter 17. They need to meet the God that not only created them, but died on the cross for them to grant them the access into God's presence, because we're all sinners. We all know that. And so it will forever be relevant. We just need to make sure that we just let the truth out. We just need to proclaim that at this time of Passover, or as others would say, Easter, that we announce the good news. Christ came, he was crucified, and on the third day, he was resurrected from the dead, exactly as the ancient prophets said he would.
On today's very special Easter Passion Week edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his message titled, Get Up. You know, the Passion Week of Easter, it has so many emotions tied to it, doesn't it? The death and resurrection of Jesus takes us from the grief of what Jesus chose to suffer for our salvation to the joy of the fact that he rose again from the grave so that we can forever be with him. Think about that. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again, and he did it all for love. That's how much he loves you and me, and that's how much we can trust in him. So let's get up and go and do what he's called us to do. Now, with his Passion Week message called Get Up, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, that this day would be wasted on no one, that this day would not come and go without the profound gravity of the meaning of it all, the heaviness of it that leads us to the joy of it. Only you can turn things around. And God, we celebrate this day unlike any other day in all of human history or ever shall be. Lord, a day that we will talk about in eternity with you. We will discuss, we will ask you, we will converse with one another about the day that he rose again, that you, Lord, rose again from the grave. A day that no man can change. A day that no man can redefine. A day that is eternal. And Father, thank you that it's such a day that it doesn't matter if anybody believes it or not, it's still true. The greatest fact of all facts is that Christ is risen from the dead. And God, we praise you and ask you to sink that reality into our lives with supernatural power today. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Church, you know what to do, right? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And indeed he is. The message today is titled, Get Up. And don't do that right now. I know you just sat down, but get up. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but if you've ever been to Hearst Castle, William Randolph Hearst's castle in San Luis Obispo, it's truly a castle. It's designated as a castle, but it's right here in California. And it was once the home of the world's most wealthiest man. And if you've ever been there and taken any one of the tours that are offered, it's quite a scope to try to take in. For example, there's outdoor swimming pools, there's indoor swimming pools, but all of the pools have gold in them. Gold in the making of the pool and all kinds of things. In his world travels, he thought it would be great that he could have imported to the castle and to the acreage that it sat on there outside of San Luis Obispo, giraffes. Everybody has to have a giraffe, I guess. Zebras, various animals of various types. And he actually had ice that was floated down from San Francisco in those years. We're talking late 1800s, early 1900s. And it's quite a place. You can go there today. It's very well preserved. But there were two rules that William Randolph Hearst enforced regarding those who would have a chance to visit his castle. And that was, number one, you had to be invited. It was not open to the public. You had to be invited, and the invitation would come from him. And the rule number one about the invitation is that if you were invited, there was no expiration date on your invitation. You could stay as long as you desired. And you can go there, I forget, but some guests were invited, and there's one guy that stayed over a year. Free food, free housing, smart guy. But the other rule was this, second rule, only two rules. Stay as long as you'd like. Second rule, you're never allowed to mention the word death or speak of death while being on the property or in the castle. If you spoke about death or mentioned the word death, rule number one was immediately revoked and you were taken off the property. So fearful of death was William Randolph Hearst that he wouldn't even allow it to be mentioned. He was terrorized by it. And I want to remind you at what point he was the richest man in the world, but he couldn't do a thing about death. By the way, Elon Musk can't do a thing about death either, nor can Jeff Bezos or anybody else. You can be the crown prince of something, and you can't do anything about death. I find it interesting that on Tuesday, August 14th, 1951, in Beverly Hills, California, death came to visit William Randolph Hearst, and death won. And by the way, if you're wondering, whatever happened to the castle, when he died, the state of California got the castle. And when you die, the state of California is going to get a lot of what you have too. But you won't care because you'll be in eternity. And I pray that your eternity is heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, because after what Christ did to buy this day for you and I, there's no reason why you should wind up in hell. The only way you're going to get to hell is if you want to go there. God bought the ticket. God gives the announcement. He's been doing this for over 2,000 years. And that those who accept that free pass, that free gift, the Bible says is granted eternal life. And you might be here today, you might be watching right now, and you might be thinking, I want that. Well, then pay close attention. The Bible tells us, in fact, you want to stand because you'll be sitting for a while today. You want to stand? Luke chapter 24. I'll read it for time's sake because we're going to go right into right out of Luke, we'll go right into Matthew. But I'll read, but we'll stand in honor of God's word. And Luke chapter 24, now on the first day of the week, that Sunday, Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I notice all of our pastors today have shining garments on. We have ties and suits on, not our normal attire. These are no doubt two angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee." And verse 7 says, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men." Isn't that awesome? We had a visitor on Friday, Good Friday, from Hollywood, and they were Jewish, and they came to the service. And after the service, she came up to me and she said, "I'm so sorry that my people crucified Jesus. I didn't realize this." And I said, "Listen, ma'am, your people did not crucify Jesus. My sins crucified Jesus." And she said, "I'm so grateful that you told me that. I didn't understand that." I said, "No, he died, he was crucified for us all. It was God's plan by the predetermined counsel of God's will." The Bible goes on to say that he was crucified and that on the third day he rise again. And they remembered his words. I love verse 8. A great verse to remember, to memorize. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11. Not 12, 11. Judas had done himself in by this point. And all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them. All the women, notice everybody, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. The great men of faith couldn't believe a word these women were saying. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. God bless Peter. Thank you, Peter. That's awesome. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself what had happened.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Now we look at Matthew's gospel. This is Matthew's observation. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You should today read all of the accounts of the resurrection, because as you put them on an overlay, it's technicolor. Now, after the Sabbath, that is early in the morning on Sunday, because the Sabbath is now past, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. Number one, there wasn't a great earthquake because Caltech said there was. There was a great earthquake because an angel was doing some work. Somehow coupled together, as the angel came down, the great earthquake accompanied the rolling back of the stone. And then just to be sassy, he sat on it. And I gotta see him folding his arms and just waiting for the women to show up. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, that's the Roman guards that were guarding the tomb so that no mischief happened, shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The word means they actually fainted. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, which is amazing. Let me translate. Indeed, he is going 90 miles north of you right now from Jerusalem to Galilee. There you will see him. That's a long, listen, 2,000 years ago, that's a long trip. Behold, I have told you. So they went quickly from the tomb with fear. The word fear is not that they were scared. The word fear means that they were in awe. They were in awe and they had great joy and they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Isn't that great? They're running. They're no doubt talking back and forth as they're running. And Jesus interrupts their workout. He says, rejoice. And so they came. You can almost see them leaping toward his ankles. And they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. An amazing account just out of these two gospels. There's four that cover it, but on this Sabbath, as it were, 2,000 years ago, from Friday sunset, they were to be observing the Sabbath. And if you were here for Good Friday, we talked about Jesus being crucified, Jesus being laid in the tomb, and it all had to happen before sunset because the Sabbath had begun. And that on the weekend that Christ was crucified and died and rose again from the dead, the Bible tells us it was a double or a special Sabbath, unlike others. And during that period of time, an observant Jew was to obey what they had learned from Moses, that you are to keep the Sabbath. Your travel distance was limited, very, very small, short travel area. You couldn't do any work during that time, from the time Friday sunset went down until sunset on Saturday night. You couldn't do anything at all. You were to just contemplate, worship God, think about honoring God at this Sabbath. And the Jews have been doing this for thousands of years. And what's awesome about this, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 23, verse 56, mark it, everybody, pay attention. This is, to me, amazing. I just want you to catch it. Luke 23, 56 says, then they returned, that is, they went back home after the crucifixion, and prepared spices and fragrant oil. Stop right there for a second. They were not supposed to do this. According to the law of God, they were supposed to not work. This is not only hard work. Some historians tell us that the preparation of fragrant oils and all that was needed to create the amount of ointment that was to put upon a body the average size of 6 feet. They assumed Jesus was 6 feet tall. We don't know this for a fact. Doesn't matter. Would be somewhere around 120 to 150 pounds of oil. That's a lot of weight. They were preparing this hard at work on what? On, when was it? During the Sabbath, when you're not supposed to do any work. Now they're breaking the law. But the Bible says, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Okay, wait a minute. Finally, we have found a contradiction in the Bible. After all these thousands of years, we found a boo-boo in the Bible. And that boo-boo is, they worked their tail off preparing these fragrant oils and these spices, but it says that they rested. Oh, there's no contradiction. You know what trumps this completely? It's this, and it's actually a quote. I'm quoting myself. If it blesses you, then it's from God. If it doesn't work for you, then it's from me. The answer to God's law for us is our love for him. What's the greatest commandment? What tops the 10? Love God with all of your very being, body, soul, and spirit, right? So if they are preparing these fragrant oils and spices weighing 120 to 150 pounds, but it's all for the love of God, are they really working? You see, a legalist, a sin sniffer, and a fault finder, there's always one everywhere. There may be some even among us. They will say, ladies, you're not supposed to be doing this. Do you know what those women probably would have done to somebody who walked into their kitchens and their rooms to tell them that? They probably would have busted them right in the nose. Everything that they were doing was rooted in love. Our Savior died on the cross. He's buried in the tomb. When he died, we died. There's no reason to live. You can forget the law. You can forget about eating. They don't care. When he died, we died with him. Our hearts are broken. That's how much we loved him. And we're going to go pay our respects to him. The only problem is there's a stone over that door. And it's a whopper. It's big. We can't move it on our own. By the way, some of the stones, you know, they have found some stones to family tombs that weighed over 3,000 pounds. This is not a pebble. So they're going there not knowing how the door is going to be open. Thank God the angel took care of that business. But they came out of love, so to speak, breaking the rules, and yet the Bible commends them for keeping the commandment. How is that possible? Love. Love, I trust, brought you here today. Listen, first service, sunrise service, had to be brought indoors because of the rain. Packed out. What brought them in? Love. What brought you in? Love for God. What brings us to this day? Love. The love for God and all that he did. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And did you know that the Bible teaches us something very interesting about the Sabbath and about what happened today in history? That when Christ rose again from the dead, he became our Sabbath for every day of the week. Did you know that? Yes. A friend of mine asked me, a Jewish friend, he said, do you keep the Sabbath? I said, yes, I do. He goes, I don't think you do. He goes, I sometimes see your schedule. Sometimes I know where you're at. You're not home on Friday night and Saturday. And I said, I didn't say I was home on Friday night and Saturday. I said, but the Bible says that in Christ, we Sabbath in him. He's our rest. 24/7, 365. It's remarkable. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for anyone who has entered his rest has also ceased from their works as God did from his. Is your life marked by rest as a believer? Let me ask you, are you really a Christian today? Don't assume that you are. This is a great danger. Don't assume that you're a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? The number one thing is that you have a rest. It doesn't mean that you don't have any troubles. It means that in the midst of all your troubles, you've got somewhere to go with your troubles, that Christ is there as a great anchor because he's risen from the dead, he lives forever, and that anchor is living, and that is in you as a real believer. If you claim to be a believer, but you worry all the time, then you're not a believer. How can you be trusting God and be worrying yourself sick? It's impossible. Fear is sin. And we are commanded to never fear. And when Christ rose again from the dead, that sealed it for us forever. We don't need to fear anything. Christ is risen from the dead. We need to hear that more and more. We saw our world gripped with fear during the COVID era, and everybody put a mask on. I mean, not everybody. A lot of people put a mask on. Well, you know what? Forget about that. A lot of people are still wearing a mask over their entire soul, pretending to be somebody else, hoping you don't find out who they really are. If that defines you, you need Christ today. You need this one who rose from the dead, not to change your personality, not to make you good. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead to make dead men live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his very special Easter Passion Week message called Get Up. Happy Easter to you, and thank you for stopping by today and listening to the radio program. Our prayer is that in celebrating Passion Week, you'll come to realize the urgency to come to Christ, knowing that he is the only way to eternal life. You've got to get there. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What if the greatest battles in life aren't fought with swords and armies, but with the struggles of the heart? What if the most defining moments of leadership come not from triumph, but from pain, betrayal, and humility? How do we handle being misunderstood or wronged? And how do we navigate the deep waters of authority, submission, and forgiveness? In A Tale of Three Kings, Gene Edwards takes us inside the lives of King Saul, King David, and Absalom, illustrating the powerful lessons learned from their brokenness and their failures. Through these kings, we discover that true leadership often comes through humility, suffering, and trusting God's sovereignty, even in the most difficult seasons. This book will challenge you to reflect on your own heart, leadership, and your walk with God. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.